I'm going to start this homily with a joke. This joke might be funny to some of you, and it might be offensive to others. And there's a reason for that. I want you to understand this joke in both senses, both as offensive and as funny, because it'll help you understand my point as I go further. So this man was taking a flight, and as the flight was up in its cruising altitude and moving along, the stewardess came with his food. So, as he was about to eat, he stopped to pray. The man next to him looked at him and watched him intently. Once he had finished praying, he said, "I don't need to pray, I just dive into my food." The other man said, "Yeah, my dog does that too." There's a point to this, though. When we talk about food, we have a lot of different ideas of how food works in our world. If you saw this joke as offensive, you would see food as just a commodity, something we eat at our leisure with no real merit or dignity to it. Food is just what I want when I want it, and I feel full when I'm done. Food. But if you saw this joke as funny, we realize that there's some sort of dignity to food. There's something more than just filling our mouths and our bellies and feeling good at the end of that. And that's the point that helps us understand our gospel. Because largely our gospel doesn't make sense to us. We are in a world so inundated with food, it's amazing to think of people going hungry, even though they do. We are so inundated with food that we can have almost anything in any way we want it. We are so saturated with so much food that this is the first time in human history in which diets are a common thing. For so much of human history, they did not have enough food, so dieting was just not an option. They needed to eat to survive. But we can't. And because of that, we have such a plethora of diets that almost everyone has some idea of how we ought to eat. But yet, in our gospel comes down to something very simple. Eating has something of a dignity to it. It's not just a thing we do, it's something about who we are. And so as we start out with our first reading, we have Elisha the prophet, who the people need food. What does he do? Give them food. Not a huge surprise. This runs through all of the Old Testament. If we go all the way back, what's the first thing that's the commandment that we have in the scriptures? Don't eat that tree. Everything else you can eat. Just don't eat this tree. What happens next? We have covenants. Covenants are enacted through sacrifice. Sacrifice requires you to eat. What do they do in the desert, or right before they get to the desert? The Passover, which is a meal, a celebratory meal. It's not just about eating. All of the Old Testament leading into the New Testament is pretty much saturated with the importance of a meal, not just eating. And when we get to Jesus, he makes a point that in the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. So that when we get to our gospel, things start to take a new character. We don't have a bunch of people who are just wandering around and can go easily get some food. They're on a mountain, probably the same as being about 6 hours away from a town with the nearest food for us. So they really don't have food. And what is God's way of providing? He's going to give them food. Now, why this is important and why I start here is because from here on for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be chronicling the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, called the Bread of Life Discourse. And that whole discourse, the 69 verses of chapter 6, will focus exclusively on the value of the bread of life, namely the Eucharist. But we need to start from somewhere much more mundane, which is a simple meal. So as we get into the gospel, there's a few things we need to note. First of all, it's not just standard eating. There's nothing standard about what they do. For us, we're used to like sitting on a couch and eating a whole bag of potato chips. Or maybe we open a tub of ice cream and down it. Or maybe we have food all day long and lots of different snacks as we pick up here and little bits there and whatnot. That's not these people. He didn't just say, "Here, eat." They stopped, gathered the food, sat down, he said the blessing, then distributed the food, then collected the food, and then they're done. There's a process to it. It's a formal meal. Which means for us, meals have dignity, which shows the dignity of food. Food as providence from God, food as a gift, food as nourishment, and food as something that we don't always have, so we realize that, you know, it's a gift. And then the meal, especially the meal prayer, helps us realize that I didn't make all of this. Someone else did too. Therefore, God is imbued in our meals. And that's what the whole point of Passover was. That's the point of the sacrifices. That's the point of all the meals, to realize that God is present when we eat. And then, as we go a little further, it wasn't just a meal, because they didn't have food to begin with. It was God multiplied the food, made it abundant enough so that everyone could eat. And in so doing, people realize something, something we need to pay attention to, that once it's multiplied, that was weird. That was different. Something different happened here. Following this passage, if we were chronicling Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the people would chase Jesus around the lake because he leaves after this moment, and they come saying, "We want more." He goes, "What do you mean? I gave you bread. What are you looking for? Are you looking for new signs?" No, they like the fact the bread filled them, so they want more of it. So there's something special about this particular meal, and we have to sit there for a moment. We have to wait till next week in the next passage to see how Jesus takes this ordinary event of a meal, this standard time of feeding, and morphs it into something so profound it'll be hard for us to grasp. Namely, there is one central meal, the Mass. There is one central food, Jesus himself. And this is the food that truly fills us. This is the food that makes us whole.